next on the Violence Channel, an all-new album at Balls.
You're gonna get hit in the ball.
So, ball jokes, Jim, that's really the best you could do. Everybody should know, Jim picks the intros most weeks.
Usually, yeah. Well, you know, I went for the cheap laugh this time. After that game, I really couldn't. Because I didn't want to do anything sad or anything too upbeat, so, you know.
It was sort of like being kicked in the balls for 55 minutes.
It was like just that constant crotch numbness.
By the way, I don't know that I've ever told you this, but do you know the reason that I haven't had a vasectomy is because after you had yours, you told me, dude, it's really not that bad. It's just like somebody kicked you in the nuts for the weekend.
Are we leaving this on the podcast? Seriously?
It's up to you.
Well, welcome to 12
That's
Saturday.
A true story.
We're going to get like an explicit rating on iTunes if we're not careful. Welcome to 12 Saturday's podcast / medical
confessions.
Yeah. I'm James Bladel.
I'm Tori Breck.
And we are still reeling from the win. Is that probably the worst win you've seen?
Oh, a win's a win, man. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I know. And and don't get me wrong, I still don't understand how. You know, if you listen to the press, it's like they'd almost rather we had lost to a power conference team in prime time versus beating a MAC team at home. 2-0 is 2-0.
Yeah, and you know, that Ball State team, they were missing some pieces from last year, but they've been a solid program. I'd put them probably in the Northern Illinois area, and you know, we didn't get past them last year, and we barely got past them the season previous. So, you know, a glass three quarters full kind of person might say that we're actually making progress.
You know, I rewatched that game, and I will say for certain that their defense is very good.
Well, yeah, and Iowa's defense was even better. I mean, no touchdowns given up, and I think their longest drive was barely over 50 yards. Yeah. We literally handed them their only touchdown.
Yeah, and but just watching the, you know, just watching the replay, trying to figure out what's going on with the running game and trying to watch it and pause it and figure out what's going on. And I noticed, you know, a couple things. One is that we seem to be outnumbered a lot, so either the guys are not holding their blocks long enough on the line, those guys really swarmed to the ball, and they were making amazing open field tackles. Now in the secondary, they were mugging us, and there were a couple of no calls that on pass interference that were just criminal.
Yeah, I think the way to get at Iowa is to physical them. I mean, you and I tried to do that too. They did get called on a lot of penalties, and that came back to bite them. But you know what? I think, Jim, that might be a good sign that we actually have some receivers now that can create separation and get away from their defenders, because I don't remember seeing that so much in the past.
Right. That is something new. Maybe we would have one that could do that. It is new to have two or three receivers that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy game to take positives away. I mean, that's for sure. But you know, they drove the ball well. The defense played great. It's the three big things. They're not getting the running game going. They're not finishing off red zone opportunities with touchdowns. And the kicking game is a frickin' tire fire.
Yeah, and that is just maddening to watch. And we've had it. Maybe we've had it too good for too long.
Well, it was interesting, you know, reading in Coach Ferentz's press conference today that he said, you know, basically acknowledged that it's pretty much just a mental issue with these guys at this point and maybe a confidence thing. So, you know, I don't know what else you can do. As people have said, it's not like you can go out on the waiver wire like in the NFL and hire somebody off the street. I mean, you're just going to have to keep sending those kids out there until they get it.
They should be kicking pretty much from the time, you know, they wake up Sunday morning until it's kickoff again the next Saturday.
Well, apparently there's not a problem in practice. You know, that's the thing. It's a different thing with 70,000 people all counting on you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, and do we, you know, you talk about kicking. We've said this before. The kicking game is going to cost us a game, almost cost us this one. And I've also thought about, you know, you hate to point to officiating, but I still believe that, you don't want to be in a position where a bad call or a no call decides the game, but there were some really bad calls, in my opinion. There were a couple of, no calls, on pass interference, which I mentioned. There was the bobbled catch in the end zone, which I'm sure that a lot of folks said, you know, he was trying to move it, you know, to his other, to his running arm, which he didn't need to do. You were already in the end zone. But hey, if that catch was incomplete, then so was Ramon Ochoa's versus Michigan in 2003, because he held the ball for 0.2 seconds in the end zone, and then somehow that counted. So, you know, I think that, and then the big one that was maddening for me was the running into the punter, and that actually led to their only legitimate scoring drive, where they drove the field. You know, when the punter is actually sprinting laterally, and doing one of those rugby style kicks, how do you, you know, what are you supposed to do? Not come anywhere near him? Because he actually, I watched that play again, and the gunner actually, you know, kind of pulled up and tried to twist away from the punter who was coming at him and made contact, and they called it. I thought, that's just ridiculous.
It was more like running into the gunner, actually, on the punter. But, you know, my big takeaway from the game, though, is really that this was about as bad as you can play, about as many mistakes as you can make. You know, Iowa lost the turnover battle. They had major problems in their special teams area, yet they escaped with a win. So, you know, I guess the hope is, you know, chalk it, put it in the win column, you know, 2 months from now, nobody's going to remember how close it was, or, you know, that quote unquote, you should have lost or whatever. So it's good in my book that, you know, hopefully you get some of these squirrely things worked out and they don't become ongoing themes for the season, that we get to put some of this issue behind us. And then we look back and go, man, what happened at the beginning of the year? Wow. We dodged a bullet there, but the bullet was dodged, and that's the most important thing.
And week one's offense plus week two's defense, and you got yourself a pretty good team. You just got to, you know, you still got a disaster on special teams. But.
Especially the – well, and I'll tell you what, Jim, I've said this to a few people. The punting, to me, is almost a bigger worry, because, you know, and I you know, I don't like to bash individuals very much, but I haven't seen anything from our current punter that I can't see on any given Friday night on a high school field in Iowa. I mean, the punts are short. They're not high up in the air. They're line drives. They're not going for distance. And, you know, that's killing us on field position, you know.
Well, we had two – that came inside of the, I think we're inside of the 10 or inside the 15 for sure. But I think the other ones, yeah, I hear you.
They just don't look like attractive college level punts. I mean, yeah. Is what I'm getting at. And
it gets air under it and then they don't go very far, or, you know, he's got the line drives that go.
And what worries me is that, you know, with the place kicking game, you can kind of work around that. You can start going for it more often. You can do some other things, but you know, if you're backed up inside your own 25, and you have to punt it, and you can only get it at net 30, 35 yards, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, yeah, that is something you need to watch for. And well, I guess, you know, one more, put it on the list of things to fix. So let's
well, before we toast it, Jim, let's talk about.
You want to flush it and toast it?
No, let's talk about some of the good things we saw that week, okay. So that the toast feels a little bit more legitimate and not so worrisome.
All right. Well, the good things, obviously, let's start with the defense. You know, there was a legitimate 3 points on the field by Ball State.
Correct. I'm gonna go with Jake Ruddock. I find it slightly insane that on some of the message boards there's a bring in the backup contingent, which I mean, yeah. Right now the guy's at 70%. You know, no interceptions, 4 touchdowns total now, I think. You know, I think his decision-making's been great. Yeah, it didn't look great for a lot of the beginning of the game, but I don't think he was getting a whole heck of a lot of help out there. And then when it came winning time, he just put the team on his back and carried him. Yeah. So I'm more than happy with how our starting quarterback has performed.
I think he's done great, especially those last 2 drives. Those were a thing of beauty. And you were right there with me in the stands. I was way ahead of them on the panic scale. I was calling for an onside kick. I was saying, you know, I was just like, you don't have time to do this. You don't have time. Well, they proved me wrong. They had plenty of time to play Iowa's way. I think that where that frustration is coming from is that, it must have been 3 or 4 times on first down, you know, Jake went for the long ball. And he just, I don't know if he was just tired from, you know, throwing 50 passes. He just could not get it there. You know, he was overthrowing. I mean, Powell's fast, but come on. You know, he was overthrowing his receivers by like at least 2 or 3 steps. Whereas I think people see Beathard, for better or worse, as having that that long distance accuracy. But you know, again, you really can't complain with what Jake is doing. He's going 1, 2, 3, go with, you know. Oh, crap. I completely blanked.
Paul Willie's man.
No, the running back.
Which one? We use like
number 5.
Bullock, Weissman, Bullock, go with Bullock, Kanzeri, Parker.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Parker, you think he'll carry
LeSean
much?
Daniels. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought the defense, you know, we were complaining about the defense this time last week, giving up big plays, letting, you know, running backs run wild in the secondary. They really closed it down. They had a couple of, you know, long plays. They had a couple of third down conversions that were frustrating. They had that one fluky thing where it bounced off one receiver and got into the other one. But otherwise, the defense was...
Yeah, that was like their best pass of the day, I think, actually. So, and it took a lot of luck to get it. So, yep, yeah. Let's go ahead and toast this one.
All right, what are you drinking?
Actually, you know, tonight and we should note, we're actually not in the same room for a change, but I am having a Jim Beam rye on the rocks this evening instead of a beer.
Very nice. I'm having a Rampant. It's my last Rampant, and I like that one from New Belgium. So, all right, we'll toast it. Well, it certainly was a busy news day.
You know, and here's what pisses me off. Anymore, Tuesdays, the day my column comes out, always end up being big news days. And so I don't get the, you know, attention that I feel that I deserve for my mostly meaningless column.
So they stole all your thunder, huh?
My thunder is being stolen by, you know, minor little details like our All-American left tackle having, you know, knee surgery, or our best defensive end and the reigning defensive player of the week in the Big Ten having a moped accident. I mean, is that stuff people want to talk about more than what I wrote?
Yes, said Twitter.
Well, come on.
Did you... Yeah, The moped thing is still, you know, at some point you've got to have as part of your orientation a moped driving course, you know, or something.
I had a crazy idea about this. Okay, so Ferentz says that there's no rule that they have to wear helmets or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. So what if they, like, made sweet custom-made, like, Hawkeye helmets and handed them out? Do you think they'd wear those if they were cool enough looking? What if, like, all their dreams that they wish they could wear on the stadium that Ferentz is too old-fashioned to not let them, like a matte black, or, you know, like a speedboat silver with a tiger hawk on it, put those on moped helmets and hand them out at the beginning of the year?
Instead of, like, giving them the little Buckeye stickers or the helmet stickers you would give them, but you can only wear it on your moped helmet.
Exactly. You get a little Hawkeye sticker on your moped helmet.
Not
I think it's a genius
helmet.
Idea. I'm going to write a letter.
You should. And, and 2 weeks after they kick off the program, I think all the football players would give it to their girlfriends and they'll be riding around it. Cause I, you know, I don't know what it is. They want to, well, you know, I had a motorcycle in Iowa City, and I almost bit it a couple of times. I mean, it's a jungle out there.
It is. It is indeed. Well, I just hope Drew Ott can actually play. It sounds like from everything I heard later in the day that he's going to be able to go, but probably not going to see Scherf.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, concerning. You don't want it to happen at all, but if it's going to happen, I guess, you know, would have been better 2 weeks ago. Now is better than 2 weeks from now.
Well, we got, the 117th ranked rushing defense coming in?
Yeah, if you can't get healthy against the Cyclones, then we have bigger problems, I mean, as far as the running game.
On offense, yeah. I am a little concerned that they can actually move the ball and put some points on the board. I do like our defense, but yeah, I mean, we better be able to run the ball. We ran at will on them in the game last year, and they have a worse defense this year. So yeah. It's time. It's time to see it.
Yeah, and, you know, it seems like Ference is being a little cagey with who's going to play and who's out. And it seems like he's starting to, and you touched on this in your column, he's starting to understand a little bit that, you know, misinformation is part of this game.
Well, you know, my column was satirical this week, clearly.
It was.
However, I still think there's an element of truth to it. I know I was joking around in the stands about this all being the master plan, the big sandbag, pretend we're terrible and then shock the world. I don't believe that it's actually at that level. I do, though, and we touched on this last week about how treat it as a preseason type of game. I mean, that's again why we saw so much of Parker in on offense, I think, why you get to see all kinds of different, it feels disjointed what they're trying to do on offense because they're still feeling their way through it. And so did last week end up being a way, way, way more close for comfort, even for Ference's comfort level? I think so. I think that was clear in his statements. But I still don't think it's going to change the way he approaches things.
Yeah, and I was thinking why, you know, could be one of the reasons why we still saw Parker on the field after two fumbles.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. You know, I hope that things are a little more serious this weekend and opened up a little bit, you know, to give them our best shot if we need to.
We've seen this script so many times, you know, the supposedly superior Iowa team and the supposedly inferior Iowa State team. And, you know, they're headed for 0-12, except, you know, they steal one in Kinnick. And I got to believe that it's not in the cards this year.
They you know, are, what's interesting, though, Jim, is that when you kind of go back and look at it, though, the actual times that they do beat us, and and even in 2002, that was like their team of the decade. Now, was it as good as our 2002 team? No. But, you know, quite often recently, their pretty okay teams have beaten our pretty bad teams. And when we've had a good, solid team, we've taken care of them. And if we have a good, solid team this year, this is the year we really should be taking care of them because I think they're frickin' bad.
Either that or they just they expose us for having too high of expectations in the first part of the year. Yeah, I mean, like in 05, I think that's one that sticks out for me is when you come in and you're ranked, you know, when you're playing Iowa State. I think, you know, what do you think about the state of that program? I saw that a senior offensive lineman just quit, starter.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting is that they were down right away 13-0 to Kansas State. And, you know, my Hawkeye heart was getting giddy that, you know, the apocalypse was about to come down on them. But to their credit, they manned up and somehow had the lead for most of the second half of that game and then lost it right at the end. What'll be interesting to me is to see what effect that had on them. Did that rally them to say, hey, we are more competitive and now we have our big hated rival, Iowa, and they're going to come out strong? Or did they shoot their wad in that, so to speak, and become emotionally depleted? You know, they fought as hard as they possibly could and still came up short and still were losers and are still at 0-2. So I'm hoping for the latter, but I'm worried it could be the former.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of them. They're impossible to read. You know, their coach, I don't know if he's some kind of genius, you know, semi-coach, semi-cheerleader, or just kind of an unhinged and slightly, you know, unstable personality. I really don't know what to make of them. It's probably a little of both, really.
I would say from the outside, it seems like he's a really good motivator, but that doesn't last, especially for a whole season. It might last for a half or for a game or a needed moment to overcome. I don't really see him being a great tactician at all. So, you know, can motivation alone bring them to a victory at Kinnick? Another thing that I think will be interesting is what kind of a crowd do we have? Are we going to be on pins and needles, afraid of, you know, watching how Iowa's going to perform? Or are we going to be, you know, a crowd that's like out for blood? You know, I have a little concern that people are going to kind of be in this show me state of mind for a while.
Well, if we score early, I think it will just go to the out for blood, you know?
Yep.
If it starts to look again like the first half of Ball State, then yeah, I agree. Then we're in our own heads, you know?
Right.
But you know,
speaking of fans, what did you make of the semi-mass, I guess it wasn't really mass, but the minor exodus with quite a bit of time, including our good friend Bill, who apparently the song isn't until the final gun, it's until Bill gets his panties in a wad and no longer look.
It was disheartening to see, although you know, I can sympathize with it, but you know, if we sat through to the end of that Central Michigan game, we'll sit through anything at this point.
Well, wasn't it you and I kind of made the vow after we sat in the 40-degree rain to watch Michigan tear our hearts out at the end? What year was that? That was way back.
Oh, that was 98 or something like
99,
that.
99, 2000, something like that. Yeah, and the only game I think that you and I have left early was the 2004 Arizona State debacle in the desert.
Yeah.
But that started late, and there was bad weather, and it was 44-0 or whatever at halftime. So I don't feel so bad about that. I don't think we've left a Kinnick game early.
Well, we leave Kinnick games early all the time. We always say if we're up three scores in the fourth quarter that we
leave. Applaud. I don't think we've left a loss at Kinnick early, have we?
No, I don't believe we have.
My belief is it just makes the good times better when you
gotta
sit through and suffer through the bad times.
You've got to take your punishment. Otherwise, the upside just is not as sweet. Yeah, I thought it was strange that where people were leaving. I thought it was interesting the people who stayed were equally frustrated and, let's say, taking it out on each other. And maybe we could just leave it at that.
That doesn't happen.
All right, so I'll just go ahead and lay it out. Tori got into an argument with a guy who thought he was being a little too negative. I was, you know, you were being negative with what you said. I was getting dirty looks because I kept punching my seat back.
You know what was weird, though, is what I said wasn't all that negative. I mean, it had a bad word in it, but all I said is after, like, the defense forced yet another three and out, and the offense had been completely inept up to that point. I said, I think my exact words were, all right, offense, now it's your turn to pick up the defense, you selfish bastards. I mean, I didn't actually mean it. It was metaphorical for the most part.
Well, it must have been just the sum total of your whole body of work throughout the game that set him off.
It's called tough love, Jim.
Yeah.
And guess what they did after I yelled that?
They left like everybody else. They walked out and left.
No. What did the team do after I yelled that? What did the offense do?
Talking about Mr.
They went down and got a touchdown, Jim, because it's tough love.
I'm talking about the fan, the holier than thou.
Oh yeah, super fan left before the final gun too.
Exactly.
So
yeah. So who are the real fans here?
Exactly. Those of us that suffer. And yes, sometimes yell. It's like a family.
It was
if your
good.
Brother was being a dumbass, you'd tell your brother to stop being a dumbass. It doesn't mean you don't love him anymore, does it?
No, and I can say that firsthand. My brother is sometimes a dumbass and I love him to death. Especially football games, because now he wears green.
So, we don't talk about that.
No, we don't. So, you know, and then this was supposedly the big meltdown of the Big Ten on Saturday. And, you know, I mean, Michigan, let's start at the bottom of the barrel. Michigan obviously is a train wreck. I don't know who said we had an easy schedule because they weren't on it. But you know, getting blanked. I mean, Notre Dame might actually be a good team this year, but, you know, Michigan didn't even look like they belonged on that field.
Yeah, no excuse for that.
Ohio State, you know, again.
They look lost without Braxton Miller.
They do. I mean, it's like they're an above-average team without Braxton Miller. They are not a national or conference contender.
You want to talk about a team struggling with their run game, though. I mean.
Yeah. And their best
even
game.
Wisconsin, who had, quote unquote, had an easy win against an awful Western Illinois team. And we live in the Quad Cities, so we know how bad Western Illinois is. But did you see Melvin Gordon only had 37 yards rushing? And then his quote was that he couldn't believe how many people there were in the box against him. So it just goes to show if the Heisman candidate has that trouble, it's no wonder Iowa is too if teams are stacking the box.
Now, Nebraska needed sort of a miracle to pull off their win.
Well, it was tied at the time, so they...
I thought they won by four. Was it tied?
It was tied when they had the last second touchdown. But yeah, they got everything they wanted from McNeese State.
Yeah, and that is FCS. So that's U and I level, right?
Correct. Yeah. In fact, they're ranked a little bit below U and I believe.
Yeah, and then Michigan State played another FCS school, I believe, called
Michigan
Oregon.
State played. Oh, that was a joke.
It was a joke. Yeah, no, they played Oregon, and they gave them all they could handle for three quarters, and then. You know, I mean, but you just can't keep up with Oregon unless you're a sprinter.
That game, though, turned really on one play, and their great defense, Michigan State's great defense, had them bottled up. And that Mariota, who's amazing, managed this little shovel pass on a third and long that then turned into a first down, which then subsequently turned into a touchdown, and then the avalanche started. But it's just amazing sometimes how that can happen, you know?
Yeah, well, we've seen it. We've been on both sides of that versus Michigan State, right?
absolutely.
Where that snowball starts rolling downhill. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but it's too soon, in my opinion. It's too soon to say, oh, the Big Ten's out of it. I think there were some, ESPN had some good scenarios about, Michigan State's probably still the Big Ten's best hope for a playoff team. You know, there's still some undefeated teams that could conceivably run the table, Iowa, Nebraska.
Gophers.
Penn State, even.
Gophers.
Yeah.
You're not a believer in the Gopher?
Not yet. No, I might be here in a few weeks, but not yet. And then the idea that that you could see some chaos in one of the other conferences, power conferences like Big 12, or which is really Oklahoma and nobody else. The thinking that the Big 12 could actually not produce a viable playoff team, and that the Pac-12 would have Oregon and nobody else, and that the SEC would be just a hot mess of everybody beating up on each other. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I mean, is it too soon to write the obituary for the 2014 Big Ten? I mean, it's week two.
I'm coming around to the realization that I think even though the Big Ten is filthy, disgustingly rich, I do think demographics and a lot of other recruiting and a lot of other things are just against them.
Well, we keep playing by the rules like a bunch of
people. But you know what? And you and I have talked about this ad nauseum in the past, or for the past 2 years, really, is that, you know, I personally don't really like the direction that major college football is going, and it's becoming too much like the Premier League in English soccer, where there's like only a tiny handful of teams that have any legitimate shot at being good. The rich just keep getting insanely richer, and everybody else just muddles into the middle. So I, as a fan, have decided consciously to not worry that much about conference perception, all that stuff. And I care more about the sport in terms of the regional rivalries. So, you know, us playing Wisconsin and Iowa State and Illinois and that's, I'm trying to enjoy it for what it is on a contest by contest basis. You know, it was interesting. I was on Off Tackle Empire, which is sort of the blog spot for the whole Big Ten. And, you know, it was like mourning over there. And oh my God, what are we going to, one guy wrote an open letter to Jim Delaney, for God's sake. It's like, dude, you know what? Did it hurt my feelings to see Ohio State get punked at home by Virginia Tech? Shit, no, I kind of liked it, actually. So that's how I'm dealing with it.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of where you are. I mean, I am focused, and I think this is where Ference is, actually, is that the focus is on getting to and winning the conference championship. Everything outside of that, prestige or how the other teams are doing or what the conference power is as a whole, or, you know, where you get selected, playoffs, whatever, all that stuff is somewhat dependent upon things that you do not control.
Yeah, control what you can control and try to improve and get better every single week and then let the chips fall where they may. I think that's it's a great attitude.
And, well, it's the only healthy attitude. Because once you start stepping out of that, then you start hitting your head against the wall at things. Then you're like someone What is that Simpsons thing? Old man yells at cloud. I mean, you're just yelling at things that are outside of your sphere of influence and completely non-deterministic from what you're trying to. So what's the point of it?
Now, of course, as fans, that's what we do every week anyway. So if we want to expand it beyond just our team's play to everything else, why not? But I guess enough misery just trying to deal with
limit
Iowa.
The scope of your insanity.
Exactly.
To just those keys. So, well, you know, it's I don't know. We do what we can. I still think that the Big Ten is probably not, you know, down but not out. I don't know that the sun rises and sets on all these other conferences, because if you look at them, there's a lot of top heavy conferences out there as well.
That is true.
So prediction time.
Yeah, you know, I should note, we do not have a media guest this week. We will hope to come back next week. You know, we're trying to drag it out through the course of the season here a little bit. So,
well, they're all busy, trying to bribe Scherf's doctor.
Yeah, today was not a real great day to try to track down. You know, I could maybe start to be a little more proactive and not try to track guests down on the day of the podcast recording.
Well, you know,
I also wrote my column this morning because I fell asleep on the couch after having a blowout on my bike tire last night.
That was an adventure.
It was just a disaster.
Should we tell that story? Because that was actually kind of a funny story.
Yeah, it's really probably not that interesting to other people.
I thought it was interesting. My wife is just shocked about this story. So we went on a 26-mile bike ride, and at the furthest possible point,
13.5 miles exactly, on my little odometer thing.
Yep. You had a flat. And the best possible plan that we had was I finish the circuit and get the truck and bring it back to you.
Right. It was like that commercial where the guy's out in the middle of nowhere, that cell phone commercial.
Only problem was it was starting to get dark. I got stopped by a stop.
Never been
train.
On the route before.
I've never finished the route solo, so I lost the trail a couple of times. Oh, because it was dark.
Right. I had the headlight light on my bike, though, sitting.
I don't think that would have helped me, man. Every time a car went by, it was like, you know, temporary blindness. So then just finding the entrance back to the park when you're not on the bike trail, when you're
actually
driving on the road.
You actually managed to get lost on your bike and in a car within the space of an hour. That's pretty impressive, Jim.
It was a 2.5-hour bike ride turned into, how late were we out?
I don't know. All I know is I was sitting on a rock in the rain, cold, by myself for like an hour and a half. So yeah. It was exciting.
But you know what? At the end of that, I came home and I was like, you know, I'm going to eat whatever I want because I definitely burned it off today. But
if Tom Pickard is listening, that is why the column did not get finished.
Saying that on the way home. Shit, I still got to write to my column. I haven't even.
Yeah, and I was going to do it at the halftime of the Monday Night Football game, and I made the mistake of getting horizontal on the couch, and next thing I know, it's 1:30 in the morning. It's bad.
Your iPhone. Why didn't you write your column? You know, sitting on that rock. You had an hour and a half. You could have been productive.
I could have been productive, but that's not my style.
You were just babysitting your crippled bike at that point.
That's true. So. I don't like typing on that tiny little keyboard.
No, you just dictate it, you know, and just, I don't know.
Well, I'm feeling like both of us are a little nervous about giving our predictions for the Iowa State game.
I know, we've been putting it off now for a good 10 minutes. Well, we were so bad for Ball State. I mean,
yeah, this was my big blowout week. What did I say, 42-20?
You said 42-20. I said 35-21. So we were both calling for more than two scores. We both were calling for a high-scoring game. I don't know if that, is part of it. But,
Be honest. I mean, do you have any idea what's going to happen Saturday?
Yeah, I think I was going to win. I just don't know anything about how the game. You know, if you told me that suddenly Rudock can't pass and we run all over him for 230 yards and three touchdowns, I'd be like, yeah, okay. You know, if you told me that, it was another one of these defensive battles and actually one of our much maligned field goal kickers came in and kicked a 55-yard field goal into the wind and won the game, you know, okay, sure.
Hey, I think that Kane might actually, I mean, you see how far his kickoffs go flying through the end zone. The kid has a huge leg. We just can't get so close to let him kick. We just got to, okay, we're at the 35-yard line, line up, kick the ball.
See, my theory is he kicks like I play golf. Which I could hit the hell out of the ball, but just don't ask me to put it anywhere.
You don't know where it's going to land.
I have no idea where it's going to go.
But it's going to go a long way.
Exactly.
Well, that's not really good in golf or
or field goal. It's good for kickoffs, though.
That is true. All right, well, I guess it's my turn to pick first, right? Because I made you pick first last week.
That's right.
Oh, man. You know, I've been thinking about this all day. I really have. And I'm with you. It's like, I mean, would I be surprised by a 12-9 game again? No. Would I be surprised by a 56-49 game? No. What do I think is going to happen? I think Iowa's going to find their running game and get up early. I do think Iowa State's got some decent offense and is going to make a charge back, but I think Iowa's going to hold on. I'm going to go with 31-24 Iowa with the victory.
And who's your standout player? Who's the headline?
You know what? I'm riding the hot hand. I'm going with Ruddock again.
Okay, fantastic.
I picked Ruddock as my hot hand last week, and I'd say that he is probably the one that deserved it if you weren't going to give it to Ott on defense.
So I'm going to go with 30-17.
Wow.
And I believe that it's going to be close for a while, but I believe we're going to be seeing something that we've been missing so far this year. We're going to see a defensive score, either a pick six or a fumble recovery.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, and that's going to come from, I'll go ahead and say it's going to be Alston.
Okay.
Is going to have the defensive score, either a pick six or a fumble recovery. I think Ruddock has a solid game. I think the running game is better, but not necessarily out of the woods. And I also think that how do you pronounce his name? Ike Bodger?
I think it's Bocher.
Bocher, not Bucher, but Bocher.
The mustard kind of, but with an R.
He seemed to do. I mean, honestly, he was only in for what a series last time, but he seemed to hold his own. And I think some people who are smarter than me about these things have said, well, you move him over to right tackle, and you move Donnell over to left, and everything. Well, let's say I wouldn't say everything's going to be fine, but it's going to be still more than ISU can throw at you.
Serviceable, which is what we're looking for.
Exactly. And I do believe, after watching the replay of both weeks, I do believe that you and I and Ball State are more quality opponents than Iowa State. So I think
on defense, definitely.
On defense and offensively. I think David Johnson, you know, from you and I, Jawan Edwards?
Do you want to make another first down?
Do you want to make a tackle in the backfield? You know, I think those guys, those two running backs that we faced, Iowa State just doesn't have that kind of a weapon right now.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, because it's always very, 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 very depressing to lose to Iowa State in Iowa City. I hate that more than just about anything.
Yeah.
So let's hope it doesn't happen.
Well, it's one of those things where you have to pick Iowa, and you have to pick solid win on this week, or otherwise you question your sanity.
That is true. Hey, what's the one thing you want to see most from Iowa this week that either you haven't seen before or you really want to see short of?
You know what? If they make a freaking field goal, I'm just going to cheer like a freaking, like a rock star groupie. I'm just going to scream like a schoolgirl if they make a field goal.
For me, I want to see Iowa put in a tailback and ride him for a while and have him do well.
Okay.
If it's Daniels, if it's Kanzeri, if it's Weissman, I don't know. I suspect Weissman might be a little digged up. It's just a gut feeling.
So it's your call. Who do you put in?
If I was the coach, I would get Kanzeri and try to get him going. Because I think he has that home run ability, and I think Iowa State is susceptible to giving up big plays on the ground. So
yeah.
I would try to spring him early and often and then ride the hot hand for a while.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I think we need to limit the number of folks that we're rotating back there. And I think, first of all, Parker's got to sit down. I mean, he can be part of the kick return and punt return, but the guy is, you know, as taking direct handoffs in the backfield, not really –
correct.
I think it's Kanzeri. I think, does Weissman, you know, is he injured? That's a good question. If you have this kind of depth at running back and, you know, you're still kind of hurting at fullback, does he go back to fullback?
Yeah, I don't know. But if you have last year's Iowa State game on DVR, go back and watch it, because Weissman literally was a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, it was just – it was – they couldn't stop him. I mean, it was like, you know, varsity versus the JV when he was in there. So, you know, if he's healthy, does Ferentz and Davis try to go back to that? Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't care who it is. I just want it to be someone.
Well, so for me, I'm also with you. I think you split the time between Daniels and Kanzeri. Although Bullock had a solid game, I looked and most of his good plays were receptions.
Yeah, he's a third down back, and he's really good at it.
He's good at it. And you know who else is not getting the headlines that he deserved? Four huge third down completions for Kevontae Martin. That guy is
clutch.
He is. He's got ice water in his veins. He knows how to get open on third down. He knows where the sticks are at all times. And so we got to give a shout out to that. So I would do the same. I would put in put in Kanzeri mostly, maybe Daniels early, just to kind of loosen him up a little bit, and then hopefully get some of that speed. So anyway, I would like to see that, and like I said, I would like to see a defensive score as well.
Yeah, limit the mistakes, do what you do well, and I think Iowa walks away with a pretty comfortable victory. I mean, not to take anything away from Ball State or you and I, but I think most of Iowa's problems were self-inflicted.
Well, certainly to the tune of 10 points last week. So, well, with that, I guess we'll just we'll hope for the best, and we'll certainly be out there cheering our guts out. And it's kind of a weird season, because after this game, I just realized, after the Iowa State game, I don't get to watch football again until Wisconsin.
That is amazing.
It's a weird schedule, and then I'm going to miss the Indiana and Northwestern games, which are really, still, even for someone who isn't traveling, that's a long time for another home game.
Well, we're gonna try to muddle through without your stewardship, and maybe bring in a guest blog host. So,
we'll come up with something, because we won't want to disappoint those dozens of fans. So, with that, we'll wrap up, and we'll say, on Iowa,
go Hawks, beat Iowa State.
Hell yeah.